Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin. Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 541. We're in the book Bahavas Halev by Rav Moshe Hershkowitz. The English title is called Couples in Crisis. Chapter 6 talks about something called transactional analysis, which is the idea. He explains that part of Hashem's plan is to create marriage in that it gives a second chance to heal childhood pain if you interact properly and healthily. He introduces transactional analysis, which was originally formulated by a psychologist, Eric Byrne. He says that there's basically three separate ego states, and they play out in couples in ways that if you do it the right way, in a healthy way, you could understand each other and resolve conflicts. The three major ego states are parent, adult, and child. So, for example, we may slip into a child state when we act immaturely or behave in a self-absorbed way. At other times, when we're upset at our spouse's irresponsibility or immaturity and we call out for it, we may act like a parent. And if we're concerned in the present in a realistic way, then we'll act like an adult. And most couples learn how to interact and interchange these roles in a healthy way, and they're not stuck in one particular pattern. So he talks about one case, gives a name. We're not going to go through, again, would really recommend you buy the book. So very often we'll pick one out of a few cases or one out of a few examples. We're not going to go through, you know, line by line in this book. But we're going to pick one of those cases here. You have one couple here. He names them Sandy and Jonathan, middle-aged couple, married for 18 years, second marriage for both. And they were ready to give up on their marriage. They became detached. They haven't touched each other for over 16 months. They were ready to get a divorce, but they came for counseling first, and they went to Rabbi Hershkowitz. And he was matzliach that they're on the road to Shalom Bayis and Baruch Hashem. But basically, here is what happened. Sandy came from, that's the woman, came from a very abusive, dysfunctional home. Her mother was self-absorbed. She saw Sandy as a burden, married her off at 16 to an angry person. It was a gehenim. She divorced from her first husband, married Jonathan, second husband, also was divorced at an early age. Jonathan was from a more stable home. His parents were Holocaust survivors, very kind and giving. His father was very loving, but also strict. But the way it worked with a lot of Holocaust survivors, and by the way, just agav, there is so much to say about children of Holocaust survivors. And they suffer their own trauma because the Holocaust survivors themselves were living through their own trauma. And it manifested itself in many ways, even often in emotional issues and mental illness. And because of the trauma of the victim, the survivor, and how it affected their marriage and their parenting ways of behavior in their, building up their own family. Very, very difficult. So in one of those cases, in this case with Jonathan's parents, the coping mechanism was to occupy themselves for work, to distract themselves from the pain and horror of the past, and that worked for them. But because that worked for them, these Holocaust survivors, they were not available to provide the children, including Jonathan, with emotional needs and physical needs. And Jonathan's brain interpreted this to be, I need to take care of myself. And I can. I'm a big boy. I don't need hugs. I have to do things on my own. Because basically they're his Holocaust survivor parents. That's how they coped, and that's how he dealt with him. I'm giving you a roof over your head, a bed to sleep in, and food to eat, and leave me be, you know, whatever. And you have a lot of that, by the way, from the experience of people that I know and I'm aware of. But the wife, Sandy, was deeply hurt by this. Now, she was hurt by her own childhood. It made her feel insecure and helpless as an adult. And when they met, it was a great transition because Sandy had that rescuer in Jonathan, and she being as the role of a helpless child found her parent. She looked at Jonathan, her husband, as in a way her parent, her knight in shining armor, and the husband Jonathan took on that parent ego thing. I'm going to take care of my child, my wife, my child. See, that's the dynamic that went on there. And Jonathan was very happy. I'll be my wife's parent. I'll be Sandy's parent. In his mind, that's a good husband. In his mind, being a parent to his wife, he'll fulfill his own emotional needs. He'll be the independent one, the strong one in the relationship. And he may not have been aware of it, but this ego state is what Sandy really needed. And it worked out beautifully for a while. Jonathan did an amazing job as being Sandy's parent, and she as the child. So all some of you listening to this may see that dynamic in your own marriage. As an example, where a husband went through a rough childhood, learned to live on their own as taking care of themselves, and they marry someone that's fragile and needs help, and they're husband and wife, but in this sense, he's like a parent to her, and she's like the child to, you know. And it's a beautiful relationship while it's like that. But what happens is time heals and you mature and you're not stuck anymore in that pattern. So the Sandy in this case was not stuck in her child ego state anymore. She evolved with a parent mode and an adult mode. But Jonathan did not look like at this as a bracha, because he was happy to be that parent state. He loved her, his wife, very much, but he wanted the woman that his wife used to be, as that child that he could nourish and take care of. But she changed. She wanted now to be treated like an adult, right? And he wasn't used to that. Created some friction. Now, she made it clear she was tremendously grateful to her husband for everything, all the chesed that her husband did for her. She did need a father figure, and her husband was the father figure. She did need a mentor. And her father and her husband was the mentor. She did need a stable environment and a rock to be there for her. And he was always there for her. But now in the present, when she grew up and she healed, she, as a wife and as a mother, her wants and her needs began to change. I'm not a child anymore. I want to grow as an adult. Which means I want to be on the same page. I want to be heard. I want to be listened to. I want to share feelings and emotions. I want to feel like an equivalent to my husband. And for the husband, Jonathan, it was devastating news, because to him, for many years, he was acting like a parent and now felt rejected by her, with her needs changing. So they worked through these exercises, couples dialogue that he calls it, worked through issues, and Baruch Hashem, it worked well. He goes through in chapter 7, responses to stress. This is a very important chapter. And he says here, the goal of this cable therapy, which again is that bond cable connecting a husband and wife, to develop Bahava Salev, which is the title of his book, Unconditional Love. Now, the problem is, unconditional love isn't difficult to develop between parents and their children. But between spouses, it's much more difficult. And again, he doesn't say it openly here. But unconditional love over here does not mean that you're blind completely to bad behaviors and you accept it fully. Because parents have unconditional love for their children, but good, healthy parents still know when the children are doing wrong and they discipline them and they call them out and so on and so forth. But the love is unconditional. So we're not going to get into that distinction right now. We did discuss it in many other shiurim, but they do have this unconditional love, a pure acceptance of who they are. But for husbands and wives, it doesn't come naturally. So the way to cultivate this unconditional love, the brain needs to organize itself. And the cable therapy posits that there are three levels for transformation to get to that point of unconditional love. The first one is to develop a more secure attachment to heal childhood wounds. The second one is that by doing so, the secure attachment develops as a couple consistently responds to each other's distresses. That's the key, responding to each other's distresses. And then number three, level three, to love each other the way each one wants to be loved, and to quote, recognizing that the way one partner wants to be loved may not be the way the other partner wishes to be loved. It doesn't say it here. It could be a difference in love languages. It could be a difference in needs and fulfilling those needs. and so on and so forth. So we talked about how if a wife receives positive energy from her husband, they can help each other develop that emotional connection that we talked about in previous shiurim. How do you achieve these brain states? How do you mesh as a team? You love each other. You give each other love right away. You respond to each other's distresses. You work on forming a good attachment, and then positive feelings will flow smoothly. It involves giving. It involves taking. Just as a husband needs to give, a wife needs to take. Sometimes it's vice versa. Which you hear, you see, by the way, that even though Rabbi Hirschquist did say, and it's true, that al pi Kabbalah, it is the husband that needs to be the first one to give, to shower the TLC, the thinking, listening, caring to her, to his wife. There are times where there is a vice versa. There are times where a wife could indeed reciprocate. Again, she has to be the first one initially, the husband, but her initiating a giving too. I don't think I could speak to Rabbi Hirschquist. He's not against a wife initiating a giving and a flowing of positive energy going in that direction. I don't think that's what he meant. I think he just meant that primarily a husband does need to know that he needs to give and can't be insistent on his wife giving first. But the bottom line is if a wife may not feel safe, and if she doesn't feel safe, then either she or her husband will withhold their giving, and then the cable clogs. And the idea is to fix this situation, if there is a clogging between the couple, is that the husband needs to let go of his feeling of discontent. So here he's going back to the original premise that he has to give TLC first. The thinking, the listening, the caring, and listen to the previous shiurim about what that is exactly. And when he becomes aware that criticism does not work and blame does not work, he'll make the first move and flow his energy so that the cable can open so she could receive. As soon as she feels that genuine positive emotion, she will have the energy to send him back the RSP, the respect, the support and praise. Very important for a wife to recognize the efforts from her husband and not be stubborn about not responding in kind. That's also very important. It's very important. He needs to realize on the husband's side that if he wishes to receive love, he must give to her first. She needs to realize that when he does give that love first and makes a real sincere, genuine attempt, that she should seize that opportunity and reciprocate. So when real harmony and healing is taking place in a marriage, there needs to be more positive energy than negative energy. He refers back to way earlier in the book. We quote John Gottman, a psychologist that studied marriages for decades, that there should be a 5-to-1 ratio of positive versus negative energy. Then the cable, the relationship and cable, will remain stable, will remain functioning. But if the reverse is true, and there's more negative energy than positive energy, then it will become clogged. It will cease to function. The cable will become so thick with pain and unresolved issues that the partners will be filled with this negative energy and they'll feel tired and they'll feel depressed. And negative energy is draining. So some people say, okay, you know, let's just cut the cable. The pain will end. We'll cut the cable, get divorced, separate, so on. But then their pain returns when they marry someone else because they never resolved those issues. That's why he says many divorced couples get divorced several times over, because they run through that resistance of not being able to go beyond working through to unclog this cable. That's why it's so important. Don't assume that your marriage is not good or that it's not your zivig and all of these things. It's just simply that over time, for whatever reason, you develop this clogged cable. And the first step is to do everything you can based on the methodologies in this book, which is astoundingly good, to work on unclogging them, to allow the positive energy to flow, and to create that healthy, healthy connection. And very, very often, 90%+ of the time, certainly, it's very doable by learning these skills and working very hard to develop these skills. And davening to Hashem, of course, to give Yisyata D'Shmaya to succeed in performing these skills husband to wife, wife to husband, to heal the marriage. Bracha v'atzlacha.